Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discuss the latest kill count in Baldur's Gate 3. Tony, what are we up to this week?
We killed a new companion. Yeah. Well, she asked for it.
She definitely asked for it. Yeah. She told us to F off. She did.
She did, literally.
We did not appreciate that at all. No. But like, you thought you were like the most like murderous one. Like, we just literally walked through all the bodies that she's taking care of. But then apparently we were too murdery.
Yeah, even Druids attacked the tieflings, not us.
Yeah.
We didn't attack a single tiefling.
No.
It was the druids that killed all the tieflings, and she has a go at us for killing all the tieflings.
Look, we may have been resting at the time when all this tiefling murder was going on, but we did not actually...
No, because the fight started because we came in the back door, so we hadn't rested then. We had that first fight in the arena, and that's why we had to rest.
Yeah,
and
right.
And that's when all the tieflings got murdered.
Still, we were still resting, though.
Yeah.
We didn't hinder, but we didn't help either.
No, that's true. That is true. But still, she had no right to tell us off for killing the tieflings.
No.
When we didn't kill a single tiefling.
No. That was very rude.
Except for her.
Inconsistent.
And she died in 2 seconds.
Oh, wow.
One.
Rushed.
What was a sneak attack? One sneak attack.
Look,
the rogue. And
down.
I was getting ready to cast my spell.
Yeah, I got my axe all lined up. Nothing dead. Oh, man.
But we could get her underpants, so that's good.
Oh, we did. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's the little weird little hack. You pick up the body, and then if you click on your inventory slot, you can then choose to use something from their inventory slot, and then it comes through. And then I deposited her body in the graveyard that is our camp.
That's good. That's very appropriate. She should be there.
You know, I thought it would be unfair.
That Lazelle is sitting there and Astarion's blood splat is sitting there.
Yeah. And hopefully Gale's crater when he finally explodes. I wanted everyone to be represented.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll hang around or not. It'll be interesting to see if they've coded that in to allow it to persist in that way. Because in the camp kind of moves location as you go through as well. It's kind of a special place.
But the blood splats followed the camp.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So we'll find out when we finally get to Baldur's Gate. Oh, wait, that's Act 3, and we're only on Act 1.
Okay, right.
We think we may have, well, it depends on how the game works, right? We're not sure if we're going to have balked our save and we can't progress to Act 2 or not.
That's bad programming, because we didn't do anything to precipitate that fight.
Yeah.
We did literally nothing to precipitate that fight, so if that breaks the game, that's their fault.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I read a bit about this. So like in Act 1, there's the druids versus the goblins, and you've got to resolve that. And the expectation is that you resolve it on the side of one of the two sides.
Yeah.
And because we killed everyone, we didn't really resolve it. And so the druid Haslin, who we rescued, is supposed to go back to the grove.
Yeah.
But the grove is dead.
Yeah.
Right? And... you know, or if you don't go to the grove and see him there, he's supposed to come as a cutscene, I feel, should have been correct.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a bit of programming lost there where you've done both and they haven't resolved where that druid should go. So there's one subquest on the main
that won't go
get the
rescue the druid house.
Oh no, get the thing out of your head.
Oh yes. The mind worm. No, what's it called? Parasite.
The parasite out of your brain. Yeah. I'm thinking they have a word for it in the game. You know, get the parasite out of your brain that we're probably never going to be able to complete. Now, will that stop us from progressing? I'm not sure. Right. Certainly other people have discovered it. And I feel like this is a scenario that really should have been picked up in testing.
Kind of should, seeing as they're the ones that programmed that they all go hostile to you if you go in the back door.
Yeah.
That's their own fault.
Yep. Yep. And it's easy enough to make a couple of people, like reading through the responses of people asking the question, I can't find the druid Haslin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Reading through people's things like, oh yeah, I didn't really mean to, but I ended up in this situation. It's like us, like we weren't going for it, but that's where we ended up. And if that's the case, you know, you really need to solve this. So I'm wondering how many other unresolved things we might
come across
in there. You know, when you try to put this much stuff into a game, it's so many options and choices. You know,
yeah, that's a pretty obvious one to me.
Look, it may not be intentional, maybe a bug that they haven't, like an edge case they haven't coded for or something. I don't know. Like it might even be, there's certainly certain things about like whether you've got three or one of the goblin bosses left behind seems to play a factor. Whether you see Haslin before or after you kill the bosses seems to be part of it as well. Like there is a lot going on there.
Whether you discover the Shadow Druids or not, it's probably one as well.
I feel like when you get to chapter two, hopefully what it'll do is go, oh, Marcus failed because we didn't complete it and we moved on. Yeah. And then, like, I don't mind if there's going to be consequences for this. Like, not helping both, I think, is going to have negative outcomes for us later on, which is totally fine.
Yeah, we'll just kill them.
The game shouldn't.
We seem to be good at killing things.
We do. Yeah. As evidenced by the...
we may get completely owned the first time we do it, but as soon as we know what's going to come up,
got a bit of
we win the second time.
Time around, yeah. We wait. Don't waste our stuff doing silly things. Waste off our spells doing silly things. Get to a fight and go, oops, I wasted everything that I've got. Oops-a-daisy. So we killed some people. We progressed. Found some new areas we haven't been to before.
Yeah, got the best wild magic surge yet.
What was that?
When I turned people into cats and dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I misty stepped across so I could cast my lightning bolt and not hit the party members.
Yeah.
And my lightning bolt disappeared. Why can't I cast my lightning bolt? Oh, I'm a dog.
Oh,
and the people I want to attack are a cat and a dog. Oh, and Luke's a dog too.
Whoops.
What's going on there?
Damn it.
And then Josh says, Tony, what have you done?
He just immediately, always breaking
it's wild not me.
Magic. Yeah, it is you. I don't care if you're not like you didn't have a choice, but like you picked wild magic.
I did.
Therefore, it is definitely your fault. Oh my god,
that was the funnest one yet. It didn't last very long. It only lasted for like 5 turns.
It was enough though.
That was the end of the fight. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that's she easy. Was a cat, so she couldn't do any of her attacks anymore. We found the Githyanki crash.
Oh, that's what, and the big dragon, but the big dragon flies away, and then we get to fight the rest of Githyanki, which was a tough fight.
It was.
Took us a couple of goes to get it all.
Oh, that's because it cheesed us the first time.
Well, and yeah, I think there's still a little bit of like, it's such a, which is interesting, I was reading a lot of reviews around Baldur's Gate with all the Year of the Review stuff, and everyone keeps talking about how it's such a deep world that they've created, and it's like, no, they didn't create anything.
They didn't create any of the world. Like, no, it already pre-exists.
And so, anyway, that was just a slight thing. But like, again, on that point of it being so big, there's so many spells, there's so many applications of those spells that you sometimes don't know the ramifications of what they've done until you sort of see it and you're like, oh, okay, I see how that has snowballed now into something else. And we really should have, like, when you got held.
Yes.
And then we hit him and it didn't unheld. No, like, you can resist, you know. And it's
no,
like,
what
oh.
it was yeah. is you attack her and because you couldn't run to attack him.
That's right. Yeah.
So you attacked her and then you realized that you could push her away.
Yes.
And you should have done that at the start.
That's right.
Push her away, then you could have hit him and broken his concentration.
Right.
You're doing 30 points of damage. It's unlikely to succeed at a concentration check against 30 points of damage.
No.
But you were doing 6 and 3 and he, of course, he's concentrating on that.
On that. It's fine. Break the spell. Yeah. So that's right. Because I had two people close by. One was just out of range and I couldn't run there. So I should have pushed the one out of the way.
Yes.
Then I could have moved over and attacked a few times. Maybe, if not, broke the concentration. But because I didn't do that, the snowball of that, of you being held for another round, and then it just, it all went pear-shaped.
And then you died, and then Dino died, and then Josh said, we can do this, and then I said, no, you're not.
God.
And I didn't even get another turn.
Yeah.
Because they just canceled the hold spell on me, just because my turn was just before his turn.
Yeah.
So he got, basically, everybody got a whole other round of attacks on me before I could do anything.
Nasty.
Yeah. It was. It snowballed badly. But then we did much better the second time around.
Yeah. I do like the combat. I think it is still fun.
Yeah, and I like that they've implemented the spells fairly well. I might say really well, but they've implemented the spells fairly well.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that we're getting a few levels, so you're getting a few more interesting abilities. I got this new one now that I haven't had a chance to use yet, but I can make someone else attack, use their reactionary attack out of turn. Which could be really handy because it maybe like take someone out or something like that. Like any sort of extra attacks you can get, I feel are going to be
good.
Beneficial. Yeah, I think I only get one per long rest though.
So. I must say I'm very disappointed with the magic items, however.
There's
so many magic items.
They're all my weapons. We've gotten so many dud clubs, axes. Yeah. Like I've used the one axe for ages, although I feel like every single time we loot, it's like, oh, weapon for Luke. And I look at it and go, not as good. And I'm like...
So just give us money instead of these useless items.
Yeah.
And we keep getting these items that give you momentum or give you lightning sparkles. Well, if you haven't built that character, they're completely useless. I'd rather get a plus one pair of boots than boots that give me sparkle.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, we considering we haven't all got magic items in all our slots.
Yeah.
For the amount of magic items we are just selling and trashing, it's ridiculous.
And not giving to Gale.
So that loot, that loot tree that it's rolling from is, in my opinion, badly designed.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think, again, like this, you really want to, like, look at the party, look at what spells, what have they got already, and then try to offer up items that are interesting, that are incremental upgrades to things. Yeah. So you always should feel rewarded. I don't understand why that can't be done. We can't come back to this. RNG is not fun.
No.
You know, and anything you do to minimize it and make it more rewarding is far and away better.
And the worst thing about RNG, this is a great example, in Borderlands, RNG, I got a 1 in 1,000 roll really early in the game. I got this amazing orange rifle right at the start of the game. So I played for like 75% of the game without ever finding a weapon that's better than the one I got. So even when you're really lucky, it's actually disappointing.
Yeah, because you're just
Borderlands a looter shooter, and I never found a gun that was better than the one I rolled right at the start.
Yeah, there's a pistol you can get called Torment. It has a really low, early high chance of rolling for a legendary early on, and it's this pistol. And you can use that thing for ages without needing anything else. It just sort of like almost ruins it at the same time. Yeah. You know, but if with board, like something like that, right? What I would like is if I'm playing with these type of guns, those are the ones that should start dropping. I like with Fallout 76, what they did was contextual ammo. So you get a bit of random ammo all the time, but one of them will have more, which would be the gun you're using. So it kind of like, if you're doing like something that's really heavy ammo, you get a good chunk of what you use back, plus a little bit of the extra bits and pieces to sort of fill out your side ammo.
So they can do it. There's some smart, like I say, I've got a fighter, I've got a rogue, I've got a cleric, and I've got a sorcerer.
Yeah.
So don't give bard items. Don't give barbarian items. Don't give these items for character classes we're not playing.
And don't give like a sword and then a sword and then a
two-handed sword. And, you know, and then like, a sword and then an axe and then a two-handed axe.
Spread it out.
You know? And then the world's worst mace you've ever seen.
Like whoever's the least amount in the party maybe should get a little bit of a preference as to getting something that might be good for them kind of thing. Yeah. To sort of help even out your parties and stuff like that.
Or just do fixed magic item trees.
Yeah. Or have a really robust crafting system where what you get dropped, you can then funnel into things that you want kind of thing would be good. I mean, have we crafted anything in this game?
No.
Is there a crafting system?
Yeah, there's a potion crafting system.
But no item crafting system.
No item crafting that we've seen.
Aside from the forge, to which you get not enough ore to even get all the items
out
of it.
One item. Yeah.
Yeah, which you have no idea what item is about.
No, so you don't know what you're going to get until you do it. So we happen to choose the worst one when we get it. And then we chose the shield. And then the very next item drop Dino got was a shield better than the one we crafted at the forge.
Ah, that's right.
So both times we crafted at the forge, it was an utter waste of time. Yeah.
Weird.
You don't need magic items to succeed, but I'm frustrated. I've got four magic staves, staffs, and none of them have helped me cast spells.
Yeah,
they're all staffs that are designed for you to fight with.
Yeah,
I'm a sorcerer. I don't fight with staves.
Yeah,
I hold the staff to help power my spells.
Yeah,
put spell power stuff in the staffs. But I did find a pearl of power, which I'm really happy about.
Oh, okay, nice.
Which lets me recharge a spell slot of any level.
Oh.
Which is really good. So that's going to stay valuable the whole way through the game. And I don't have to wear it the whole time. It's a necklace, so I can just put it on, use it, take it off again.
Yeah, once per long rest or something like that, probably.
Once per long rest. Yeah. That was interesting when we learned the speak with dead thing, how I was complaining about how they got that.
Oh, and there's a whole new little section over on the right there. Yeah, I had the same thing with, when I read the Necromancy Book of Thay, I got an ability which is like a mark.
Yeah.
Ability.
Yeah, Hunter's Mark,
And then you can recast it. Yeah. And it wasn't until I went, that's where the necromancy is as well.
So that's where the ongoing ritual stuff is, I think.
Yes.
Because I was complaining that they got the rituals wrong, because in the rule book, in the pen and paper game,
you
take 10 minutes, you can cast a ritual spell and it doesn't cost you a spell slot.
Yeah.
And so these things have got ritual tags on them. And I'm going, well, but they're just taking the spell slot. But then there's that
whole extra panel.
Tab right at the end, which must be where the ritual spells go.
Yeah, which disappears if you don't have any.
Yeah, if you don't
active,
have any.
You know, yep. Very subtle UI change on that one.
So it is interesting that we've gone all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's sort of open world, but not. There's no benefit from roaming around and exploring. It is still kind of on rails. I don't know how we've ended up with this Githyanki, which seemed to be you can go straight there at still level 3 and find them. But we just happen to have found them at level 6.
Yeah, I probably... You probably go there and then you sort of get scared off because there's a huge dragon, so you don't go there at the moment. Kind of thing.
Because the dwarven thing where the adamantine forges seemed to be a complete dead end.
Yeah,
we just seem to go there and then you just come back out. There's nowhere else to go. Yeah. It's just that.
Yeah, which is, it's not really open world. It's open world-ish.
It's open world-ish in that we can completely go in any different direction and get a whole different range of quests.
Backdoor every single quest, go the wrong way every time.
Yeah, rather than being obvious where you're supposed to be going, so you follow the breadcrumbs.
Yeah. So you were expecting more? Yeah.
I think they could have designed a better game if they'd made it more on rails. They could have designed a better game. I don't like that. It's all over the shop.
Oh, okay.
I find that dwarf area, going on that boat and sailing across that area, I find that very disappointing that didn't do anything. That didn't lead anywhere. I found that very dissatisfying.
I think that's more to do with the quest than it is to do with the design of it kind of thing. It's like a little dungeon, if anything. You know, you go across.
I would have preferred to have found the dungeon opening. Here's the dungeon opening, go in the dungeon. Okay, that makes sense. The dungeon's got no end.
Yeah.
We got on a boat and we sailed across the dark sea to another area. That's one map.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
It didn't really give you much reason to go, like, why it was a boat, why you were sailing across or anything like that.
Yeah.
Fair. I don't know. Yeah. The map design's pretty standard for these type of, like, isometric games. It's exactly the same as Divinity and all that kind of
thing. And we're both noting how similar it is to Divinity 2 in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so similar. Is there a corpse-eating thing? Was there a corpse-eating thing in this particular?
No, you found all the corpse bits because we found the gnolls. We found the gnolls with the Flynn leader.
Right.
And the Flynn parasite was getting the Flynn to eat all the corpses.
Yep.
So we found legs and arms and heads and torsos. And that reminded you of the elf.
Yeah.
Divinity 2, who you were playing.
Yep.
Who had to eat the bits of people.
Yes.
To get bits of story background.
Yep. Okay, that's what it was.
Which is a weird mechanic that they put in.
That was a weird mechanic, yeah. Thankfully, I guess not in D&D, so that doesn't exist there. But the body parts made a reappearance, though.
Yeah, getting the Flynn, you can get the Flynn to eat itself.
Yeah.
That was very macabre.
We didn't get enough XP from that, but that was very macabre. It was very macabre. Got looted, though.
Yes. Yeah, it actually was.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah, we're ticking along.
We still haven't found Baldur's Gate, though.
Well, it's going to be a long time.
I found a sign that talked about Baldur's Gate.
Well, I'm sure it's in that direction, but there's a lot of Shadowlands to get through before we get there kind of thing. We're up to 40 hours at the moment. Yep. I don't know if that's fast or not to get through, not even through Act 1.
I think it's very slow. I would suspect.
Probably.
Yeah, but Jake seems we haven't ticked off every single quest.
Yeah.
So we're not even being completionists. We've still got bits of black on the map, which bugs me.
I spent a lot of time looking at that map and looking at all the black bits, and as far as I can tell,
the black bits you can't actually
get to.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's some secret to get there kind of thing. Yeah, it does bother me too, because what you have to look for is there's like a border outline where you can go, and it's a bit brighter than the duller outside. That's how I found the area we're at, because I was looking at it going, oh, it's a bit of bright and there's no border, so I think we can go further into the black. Yeah. That's how I found it.
And we're good, and it was a whole new area.
Yeah, which was great kind of thing. I think we spotted it earlier and just didn't jump over to get it, but we didn't make a map note, unfortunately, to remind ourselves.
Make more map notes, yes.
But yeah, I don't like the no. I like all the black to be gone and to know that it's all there,
yes,
kind of thing. But
you're finished.
I don't know. Yeah, because you.
I'm enjoying playing it, but I'm not enjoying playing it as much as I expected to be honest. I mean, put it this way, I probably wouldn't continue with it playing it single player.
I haven't played any of it single player to get what the experience is like when you have that by yourself thing with your characters and the interaction with the NPCs. I'm enjoying it playing it with you guys kind of thing. That's fun. I enjoy the shenanigans that we get up to and all that kind of stuff. That's been fine. So, my enjoyment is not what I expected. No.
You cast a whole person spell, you need to concentrate on it. So remember, don't cast another spell that needs concentration. Okay? Do not, because if you cast another spell that requires concentration, it's going to break the whole person. Okay. I just cast Shield of Faith, which requires concentration. What did I just say?
Well, Dino can't start walking in fire, so I don't know what you expected.
Yeah, he likes from walking that. In fire. Yes.
Oh, the pathing. I really wish the pathing was better. I feel the pathing is broken. Your character should never walk in
danger.
In danger. Yeah. If I click it, I shouldn't have to.
And he stood in. That's right. He was standing in Yeah, he was just standing in a fire and just slowly burning to death. What? The character wouldn't do that. No living thing would do that.
No.
And the game let him.
Yep. Ow, I'm hurting. Oh, I'm burning. Yeah.
Craziness.
Mm, craziness. Anyway.
That's Baldur's Gate.
Let's talk about the other more disappointing game of 2023. Starfield.
Starfield, yes.
So I've been getting in, doing some more stuff. I'm currently stuck a little bit on the main quest stuff because I need to get a ship that can do X amount of light years.
Oh, yeah.
And so I need another ship upgrade to the next level, which I have.
Yeah, but you can't pilot it.
I can't pilot it.
That's just ridiculous. This is ridiculous to not be able to use a jetpack without investing in the jetpack skill. If you're going to link story stuff to the character development, give you a free skill point to use it then.
So, okay. I went and did a quest, side quest for Strauss Eckhart.
Okay.
He's the guy who owns... not under Constellation.
Walker.
The backer. Yeah,
Walker.
Yeah. He's like, okay, look, we're trying to design a new ship and the people are deadlocked. Can you go
I've got that quest too.
Sort it out.
Yes.
All right. So when did that quest? So here's some heads up for you about maybe you can see if you get a different experience to me.
Okay.
So I went to the boardroom where everyone's in there. There's like six people in there plus the project lead. They're deadlocked. The project lead's their first project and they're trying, she tried to do it and do something new, get everyone's involvement, and it's kind of ended up with a lot of arguments. No one can decide what ship they want.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, how about you go around and familiarize yourself with the project? Go and ask people what they've got.
Yeah.
Went and talked to everyone and they had some good ideas for a starship. There were two ideas that I was most interested in. One was like a Hope Industries, kind of like a very standard, reliable ship for the mid-range because they have a luxury yacht already. Yes.
Yeah.
Another one was a family wagon, basically like the minivan of spaceships kind of thing, which was another interesting idea. I was curious to sort of maybe probe about like, is it like she mentions that her family went off all vacations. I'm like, oh, well, is this a common thing? Do people do this? Yeah. This feels like an interesting thing. Like they sort of could share a ship, multiple families, and then take it different times of the year and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I've got two ships that I like. The other ones were fine, but they didn't catch my interest. These two were more interesting. I'm like, okay, these are the two that I want to kind of champion. And I went and spoke to the project lead again, and they were like, okay, we need data. I was like, oh, you need data? We need data. Can you go do two missions and then we'll use that data from your ship? What's that?
You haven't got data yet and you're designing the ship? Surely you know what your market is.
You want data off my ship, which is some rando ship. What possible information could you get from my ship going and fighting people or ferrying people around? They're not your brand of ships. They're not. They're just anything. Why is it me? Why is doing just one mission enough to make a decision about a product?
Yeah, that's... So I'm like, okay, story writing.
Sure. Okay. So I went to the board. I got a fighting one. No problems. Go to the second one. Pick up a passenger. Your ship doesn't have a hab. I've got... Okay.
Yeah. Passengers can't sit in crew slots.
Right. So I went, okay, cool. The fighting one. I went and did that. Okay. No problems. That was fine. I'm like, okay, cool. All right. So now I have a goal. I want to get a hab.
Yeah.
I go to the starship person thing. Try to put a hab on my ship.
Yeah.
I cannot put a hab on my ship. I cannot for the life of me work out how to make it work.
I've done a tutorial. Like,
fine. I will buy a ship.
Oh, with a hab in it.
Yeah. Right. I look at the ships. Looking through the ships.
No hab.
There's no information talking about the hab.
Yes, there is. It's in on the left-hand side.
Yeah, in the...
Crew, passengers. And you have crew and passengers will almost always be zero.
Is it called passengers? Or
I'm pretty sure it's called passengers, yeah.
If it says passengers, I will take this back. But I could not work out whether any of the ships had passengers, crew habs or not on any of the ships that are available.
I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong.
All I can say is that I didn't see anything that I went,
it's not obvious.
That
it's
has
far
zero.
From obvious.
Yeah. Okay.
It took me ages to find that the crew was there.
Yeah.
To work out why suddenly I couldn't put anybody in my ship.
Yeah.
It's because my new ship's got a crew of two. The ultimate crew of four.
Right.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Even though the ship's three times as big and has all these stations.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're just stations. They're not actually crew stations. So, yeah.
I'm like, okay. And so, I'm like, okay, I'll just buy a ship.
Yes.
And I'll just see what this hab thing is about. Because I'm trying not to use the internet. I don't want to go and search it and kind of you know, anyway.
But there's too much that they didn't tell you in tutorials.
So I buy the ship.
Yes.
A quick save.
Yes.
Then I buy the ship.
Yes.
And I go, excellent. And go, I won't pick the ship that most likely it would have a hab.
Yeah.
Got to get on my ship. Oh, hang on. That's not my current ship. Hang on. Yeah, oh, that's right. I need to go and
Make it your home ship.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Back to the goon. Or how do you do that? Do you...
You go into the character sheet.
Yeah.
And you go diagonally. You go northwest.
Yeah.
And you flick for your ships.
Yeah. Yeah,
is it northwest or is it southwest?
Something like that.
Southwest. Yeah,
you go into that
You
that
flick for your ships and my home ship.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. That's what I did. And then it's... You didn't have the piloting ability to call the ship in.
Oh, no. And they didn't tell you that when you bought it?
Nah.
Didn't say, oh, by the way, you can't pilot this ship.
No, and I can't even call it so I can look at it and decide if it's worth getting it. I'm just not allowed to even inspect
terrible.
It.
That's terrible.
So I'm like, bin, fine, I won't do that one. It was an optional part of the quest.
Yeah.
I go back to Strauss Eklund.
Yeah.
I talked to the lady. She's like, oh, okay, you just did the fighting one. Okay, no problems. So we'll build the
fighting ship.
Well, we picked the design for the ship. And I'm like, wait, hang on. You've picked the design? We haven't even discussed the designs yet. We had a round table of design. Why can't... Was it because I didn't do the hab? We don't have enough data now to do the ship designs that I wanted to because maybe they've got passenger. I don't know. It just went on. And like, even amongst the other four choices, there was no discussion. It was just, this is what we're doing. I'm like, well, why did I speak to everyone and find out all about them, what their motivations were, if you're just going to just decide for what it's going to be anyway?
That's lazy writing.
Yeah, right. And so anyway, I was like, well, that was a waste of time. I was looking forward to like having a vigorous thing about why I think my one is best, you know, kind of thing, why I think this is going to succeed, and then see if it does actually
and
succeed in the market.
They've done that in role-playing games for so many years. You've got the... Where you got to be the detective.
Yeah.
And you got to work, solve the crime, and you got to convince the judges and stuff. They've done that for years.
Stuff like this. I got a reward for the ship. Go fly all the way there, get on board. You can't pilot the ship because you need a higher class.
Surely the reward for that quest should be increasing your piloting skill by one.
Oh, I don't know. It should be any. So now I'm just in this treadmill where I was like, okay. Cool. All right. I did this quest. I got a point.
Yeah.
Tick. Beautiful. Now I got to kill 15 more ships. I've already killed 50 ships, Tony.
I've killed so many.
Why do I have to kill 15 more?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to do more XP leveling up so I can then
it's
like, get
a terrible
a point.
System. We've spoke about it last episode. It's a terrible system where you've got to put the point into it and you've got to do the grinding.
And
it's not, what's the word, retro... Retrospective. The grinding isn't retrospective.
And I really don't like that I couldn't put a hab on or buy a ship or do anything for this quest to make it work. Like, and in fact, I even had to do it anyway.
I had to do a ship building tutorial because I wasted an hour and a half.
So I could have, I've already committed now kind of thing.
You are.
Like, you know, I didn't think that would be so detrimental to the quest or not. I'd be curious to see if you do it, if you do both, if you get some more options or if I really hamstrung myself with that. Anyway, it was just the whole thing felt like a lot of roadblocks and a lot of difficulty on quests that I was actually mildly interested in. I was like, oh, this is something.
Yeah, this is actually a quest I'm interested
in. Oh, okay. And I wonder what I was hoping was, it probably won't happen, but like you'd pick a design.
Yep.
It would go to market.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't pick it. You would help mediate the design. Yeah. We'd pick something. Yeah. It would go to market. And then like later on, we'd get a report back saying
it was a massive failure
or it was really successful or it was mediocre, it didn't really do much, you know.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really interesting.
Far more interesting.
That's what I was looking for and I just didn't get it. And so the inconsistency through this quest really like weren't great. So the next quest I did was finishing off the Freestyle Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Quest line.
Yeah.
If you've got some spoilers, maybe if you don't jump forward a minute while I just talk about the ending of this quest. So you've been following this quest line about the pirates.
Yeah.
And then Hope ship gets stolen.
Yeah.
Turns out Hope was behind the whole thing.
Of course.
I won't go into why and the read with the skin or anything, but right. Okay. So I couldn't. Okay. First of all, I'm a deputy Freestyle Ranger.
Yeah.
Why would I go and confront Hope with this evidence? Why would I not take it back to my commander? Hope is a powerful executive. He's on the council that controls the Freestyle Rangers.
Yep.
Why would my deputy go and confront Hope directly in the first place? Okay. But I do.
Oh, of course.
For whatever reason. Because I have no choice about this. I've got to go and do it.
That's what the quest says to do.
So I go and confront him. And I try to be really like non-confrontational. Very like, but not like, I'm not letting you get away with this. Right. You're going to like answer for this. We're going to like, you know, he wanted just to pay me off and have a go away. Eventually he's like, security, take this person out. Right. So now we're in a firefight. So two bullets in Hope's head. He's done.
Yep.
Take out the security goons. He was having a conversation with an employee, Bridget, who runs the construction floor. Right. And during this altercation, because Bridget's kind of like, what's going on? Like, why are you accusing Hope of this? Cause she thinks he's great. Yep. Finds out all this information about what he's been doing and stuff like that. I get to a conversation afterwards to sort of like wrap this up. And in the first breath, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe Hope tried to kill you. That was crazy. Then the next bit of conversation is, I don't know, this kind of felt like you were a bit of an ambush and you set up Hope for failure. I did not go and attack him.
I did not confront him.
But like in the same conversation between one response is like, oh, he tried to kill you.
Yes.
And then it goes to, well, no, this might have been, we ambushed him. Yeah. Well, look, and I won't disagree that it was a bit of an ambush. And this is why I would have preferred to go back to my base and get reinforcements and bring my commander out with me to go and talk to him and like get buy-in for my theory. Because I've got this, what I think is flimsy evidence about it. Like, I don't know how mutable tablet sites are, whether a message is really
a message,
that, you know, and to have like some authority and backup. I mean, I'm not even a full star ranger.
No, you're just a deputy,
you know,
like
what? So like, not only is it like the whole quest is inconsistent law wise, the responses are inconsistent. Hope was fine. Like that conversation with Hope made sense. And he would definitely try to do anything to protect the stuff.
It go away.
You know, he's ruthless. He puts on a nice front, but he's like all CEOs, particularly in all these companies in this world, they're all ruthless, you know. But that conversation with, I'm just like, whoa, that was just like, that just pulled me right out of the whole thing. Yeah. I was like, oh my, what? Did we even like, if pick a lane, just pick a lane, whichever one it's going to be, could deal with it. If she wanted to put blinders on and go, you ambushed him, how dare you?
He's the best thing, guy, the best thing to sliced bread.
But it's hard when she's been saying in the conversation before, you're horrible, you can't, you hurt all these farmers. Well, you know, like, it was very inconsistent, I have to say, I think Baldur's Gate so far has been internally consistent.
Yeah.
Whether what they're saying is good or interesting or whatnot, I don't think I've picked up anything where I'm like, you don't know what's going on.
You
I feel
just
like
said the opposite of what you said before.
I feel like Starfield never knows what's going on.
No
one ever knows at all.
I'm stuck in Starfield.
You're stuck. Why are you stuck?
The scow. Board the scow. Okay, you can blow them up or you can board them peacefully. I'm boarding them peacefully.
Oh yeah.
Right. You can get into a fight or you can go and talk to the guy. All right, I'll go and talk to the guy. Right. You can fight him directly, or you can convince him to take you to the artifact. Okay, I'll convince him to take me to the artifact. All right, great. I've got to the artifact. What can I do? Nothing.
You should be able to mine it out.
No, he's got the artifact in his display case.
Yeah.
And he dares you to steal it. So I've gone through the whole ship trying to find some way to get the artifact without stealing it.
Is this the luxury liner?
Yeah, the collector.
Oh, the collector. That's right. Yeah, he's got a whole menagerie and stuff on there. Still full of stuff.
I thought, okay, maybe I can stealth around and stuff and get to it. But I haven't resolved this yet. So the game, I saved it and then I adventured some more and I've ended up killing every single person on the ship.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I'm a good guy. I don't want to kill every single person on the ship because I'm trying to get this artifact.
I don't think it was intentional.
No, it wasn't for me. No, I was trying to work out how the hell else can I get this artifact? And I tried to sneak around to steal it. But everybody went hostile. So I'm stuck. I have to try again. And this really annoys me because I want to try building ships now that I've done the ship building tutorial. I want to try building ships, but I'm stuck in this quest where I can't leave the quest. I can't leave the ship. I'm stuck on the ship. So I have to resolve this quest one way or the other. So I'm probably going to end up going completely against my role-playing beliefs. Murder everybody in the ship and take the artifact, which I really don't like.
I guess you can look it up online and see if there's another
option. I will. I'll look it up online and see if there's another option.
Maybe there's a console that you haven't found or something that opens the vault.
Well, no, he's opened it up. He's standing there with it open, daring me to steal it. I haven't tried actually stealing it.
Well, I think if you steal it, it's going to kick off a fight.
Yeah, kick off a fight anyway. Yeah. So that's my next attempt, just to try that. But I tried to see if you, because it's not got great stealth mechanics, but I thought maybe there's some room that you can get in or something, but I haven't found anything. I've gone through the whole
thing. You kind of want to ship, like, where are you going to, like, hire where they're not going to go? Where'd that guy that we let on our ship go? Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. Are they ever, yeah. You know.
So this is, it was really good. The build-up has been quite good.
Yeah.
Because it's given me the options to be violent or not. And I'm not a violent character, so I'm taking the not violent actions, and I've done well. And I've got all the way to the artifact, and I've tried convincing him to sell it to me. I've tried getting him to give it to me.
Yep.
But I've ended up where all he's doing now is taunting me, saying, go on, steal it. I dare you. I dare you to steal it. And it does say steal the artifact.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem very good. Constellation, I thought, was supposed to be this good, broad-minded...
We can't pay him off. Like, yeah,
exactly. We've got all these risks. Stroud Eklund is part of Constellation, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Give him a whole new ship upgrade. Okay. We'll upgrade your entire ship, clean it all out, give you everything. Just give us the artifact.
Yeah.
So many options we could have in if this was real. This guy owns a shipbuilding company, for crying out loud. I come back, say the only way he's going to give us the artifact is if we give him a brand new ship. Oh, okay. We can give him a brand new ship. Sure.
Let's do it.
The artifact's worth that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what we want, isn't it? It's priceless, really, you know. It's not any value to him apart from being a collector.
No, exactly. Yeah. How strange. He even says it doesn't do the sparkly thing when he touches it. He's tried touching it and it doesn't do the sparkly thing. It doesn't even work for him.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I'm disappointed by this quest. I'm going to have to go online
and
work out if there is a peaceful way of resolving it. Hmm. But it was kind of fun slaughtering everybody on the ship, particularly as they were so low level. I was using Hella's cutter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was trying, because there were emergency blast doors that I opened to find a secret area.
Yeah.
And so I had it equipped. And then someone went hostile. Obviously, they saw me in the area I wasn't supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And went hostile.
And that was it.
And so then the whole ship went hostile.
Ooh.
And just slaughtering everybody with Hella's cutter.
That's hilarious.
And then I found the main area where the resistance is, where the mercenaries are.
Yeah.
They were a lot tougher.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But nice. So you just killed everybody in the ship when you did that?
Yeah.
And you didn't have any qualms about killing everybody on the ship?
Nah, my guy's fairly like,
morally loose.
Yeah, you know, like we try to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, if a few spaces have to be spaced, then that's just the way it goes. That's the way the settled system.
They've been so polite, letting me on their ship and giving
me something because he could show off because he didn't think I could kill everyone on the ship, but he was mistaken on that one.
Yeah. So we both had a dissatisfying quest experience in the last
fortnight. A couple, really. That Hope one was really annoying because that's a long bloody quest. You got to do a lot of...
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole long... To me, that's a feature quest chain because it's like, you know, like the Ryujin quest line.
Yes.
Where you go through all of the stuff, you know, through there. That had a quite satisfying conclusion to it.
Yeah.
This one, it was fine. It was just that conversation. Well, no, the way I handled Hope and then the conversation with Bridget afterwards really just put a whole downer on the whole thing. Yeah. I was just like, eh.
Disappointing.
Yeah. And like I told my boss that he died. And I got nothing, just a damn.
Oh.
He's like, that's a very good point. Now I think about it, right? Again, not consistent. One sentence before, I'm going through, I'm like, you're telling him what's happening, right? So I'm like, oh, you know, I resolved it. You know, I went, the guy, you were right. The guy was there where he said it was going to be. Yeah. And then he implicated Hope. He's like, oh my God. He's talking with an offsider.
Yeah.
Hope's the CEO, and I was on the council and all, like, oh my God, this is five
stars. Outrageous.
This is what I was expecting, right? This sort of oh my God, we've now implicated Hope in something, right?
What a revelation.
And then he's like, he's like, oh, did you go talk to Hope about this? I'm like, yeah, I did go talk to him and he didn't survive the encounter, right? Again, gentle, like, damn. Oh, well, never mind then. I'm like,
what?
2 seconds before, you're like, this is like a five-star emergency, right? And now I've just like taken someone out. Isn't somebody on the council going to call and say, hey,
was there why did way one you of your handled it?
Hope just like, are you serious? Like, what, your deputy just like, you're not even deputy, just like, you know, I know they like solved these problems and like got the bank, whatever, we solved the bank problem and all this stuff. But like, Hope's a member of the council, you know, that's going to cause political ramifications. Nothing, just a damn. And that's it. Okay, sure, no problem. Yeah.
And I really, they,
So weird.
Desperately need a quest line that's a tutorial about building outposts and a quest line that's a tutorial about building ships.
There really should be. It's really weird.
Why they even put those systems in the game if they're not going to tell you how to use them.
Yeah, see, we should have found one by now if there was one in the game. There isn't.
There aren't quests in the game. It's just Vasco says, oh, you could try building an outpost. But no help on how you actually build an outpost and no help on how you actually use a ship builder.
The ship building may be a little bit more obvious, but certainly with the base building, like, what's the purpose of the bases?
Yeah,
what do you, apart from like your research, right? In terms of like maybe mining materials to do research or something like that, why do you want to build an outpost? I don't know. Like, what's
the purpose? It increases your scanner range. So, if you had stuff that you actually had to find on the planets and it was difficult to find on the planets, then building an outpost to increase your scanner range would be beneficial.
Pointless. Yeah. What, so I have to go to the planet, spend resources, build something just to put a scanner to go back to space to scan it further?
I think you have a hand scanner.
So if you're getting like 100%ing all these planets, trying to like get 100% scanning for a mission.
I don't know why, but I'm also countering your research thing because I've researched nearly everything there is to research now.
Yep.
And I have not a single outpost. Yeah. So even getting an outpost to mine the resources for you, the only thing I can think of is to make money to buy better spaceships. That's the only thing I can think of is what they're for.
It's a lot of system. It's a lot of stuff for just
just making better spaceships.
You know, I think like in Fallout 4.
I stole a spaceship too.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Excellent. Yeah. Did you have to register it and pay a fee? And then
the Varun. The Varun landed near me.
Oh.
I went to say hi.
Yeah.
And they started shooting at me.
Yeah.
So I killed them.
Yeah.
Couldn't work out how the hell to steal the ship. There was a ladder in the science bay leading up to the next level.
I
finally found the ladder, went up the next level, killed them all.
Yeah.
And said, oh, wow. Cool.
Free ship.
I got the ship.
Yeah.
And then, I went into the ship thing. Because, of course, you can't fly until you make it your home ship or whatever it was. Couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So, it only cost me 10% of the ship's value to register it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But, of course. Oh, that's the other thing. Contraband.
Yes. Stupid contraband.
What is the point of contraband? I finally found someone to sell contraband.
Yes.
12,000 credits it's worth.
Yeah.
They're offering me 1,200 credits.
Oh.
10% of the value that it says it's worth. What is... That's not worth the trouble.
Where did you go?
I went to Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Den. I went to the den at Wolf with my mech parts.
Yep.
So I've got a planet, the starting planet, which I can't find now. I can't even remember where it is.
Yeah.
But I've dropped all my contraband on that starting planet.
Oh, right.
That's so there's a starting planet with a whole bunch of contraband on it that I don't know how to find anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can't search. I don't remember where it is. But I didn't know where to sell contraband. And I got annoyed. The thing scanner kept coming up. I could go back to my save.
Yeah.
So then just started dumping contraband all in the same place.
Yeah.
I dump contraband on this planet, don't I? Finally found somewhere that I could sell contraband and it was not worth anything.
Oh, I thought it was worth a lot of credits, but maybe I didn't look at the actual
the value. It's value. Worth 12,500 credits. That's the value for one item. That's amazing for one item.
Yeah.
When I went to sell it, he bought it for 1,250 credits. I've got guns that are worth 9,000 credits.
Yeah,
I'd rather just collect the guns.
Yeah,
I don't have to worry about
the scanners,
or anything, and sell the guns.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. There's no reason to pick up this contraband. Like, it's just a thing. It's just a mechanic that's thrown into the game without really much thought about how it fits into the overall. It's just annoying. When you can get a shielded bay, right, so that they can't see it. But then that would imply there is a reason
for you to collect to get the contraband.
Actually, just money. If it's just money, I don't. Yeah. It's not really.
They could have done the whole different factions and completely different quest lines, and you join the smugglers faction and you need to do all these quests. We got to smuggle stuff to people.
Well, that's very Skyrim-y to do that kind of stuff, isn't it? Like when you go Skyrim, you got different factions. You have different things you got to do to join them. You can join all the factions for the most part, I think, if you do the quest right. But you know. Yeah, there isn't really anything like that necessarily
Well, there's a Ryujin and there's a Free Star
Collective. Yeah.
And there's the Crimson Fleet. And there are factions that you join.
But they don't give you anything.
I haven't joined the Crimson Fleet. I've started the Crimson Fleet progress.
Yeah.
And now none of the pirates are hostile to me. So I'm going to these bases full of pirates and they're not attacking me.
All right.
And I'm really just how boring those places are and the pirates aren't attacking you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starfield, the game we love to hate on.
Yeah, a little bit.
Why do we keep playing it? I keep drawing me back. I keep wanting to do stuff with it, but it is disappointing.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll get past this Scout quest and then I'll continue on.
Well, I want to continue the main story and finish it. I just need to level up enough because if I'd known that the main story quest requires that, I would have put some points in there and not wasted on other things, but I didn't know that this was coming up.
The other thing that's crazy is there's all these different starting character profiles.
Yeah, they give you a few bonuses.
12 or 13 of them. They give you 3 skills. But why can't you have something like a space captain? And it gives you the so make the profiles based on the skills that they think you should start with.
Yeah.
And I got research and persuasion and laser weapons. And then I leant heavily into research because that's what I wanted to do. But I've ignored laser weapons and I've ignored persuasion.
Persuasion's great. I've been using it heaps. But, you know, you don't have to necessarily either.
Did you know that it doesn't matter?
What do you mean?
It's actually, if you learn the person's personality that you're talking to, you can win all the persuasion conversations if you choose the right choices.
Oh, really?
Ignore green, yellow, and red. Yeah. Completely ignore that. Look at what you're saying.
Yeah.
Match it to the person's personality, and you win.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
So that I actually like that.
That's really cool.
I actually think that's really cool. Really, and cool. If you put the effort in to learn that person's personality
that you can just bypass.
You can do it. Really, but then what's the point of having them? So what the persuasion thing should do is maybe show you the right
choices options, or something. Something like that would be better.
It's a strange game. There's too many. It's exactly like we said. They're throwing too much spaghetti on the wall, and they haven't worked out what they want the game to do.
I guess that one of the reasons for Outposts is there are a few quests where you got to like deliver 5,000 iron for a quest.
Oh, so I haven't looked at any of those quests.
But like, you just get money. So I don't.
So just sell the iron, you get money as well. You get XP probably for completing the quest.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed that piloting is a blocker to the main story.
That's really bad design.
That's not there. I was just thinking before then too, like you got this like, you know, kill a certain amount of ships. That should be a sidetrack. So like you can either use points to like just go bang, 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 or you got to kill 50 ships.
Yeah, then you get one rank in piloting. That's
all it's worth is one rank in piloting, but you've got to like, rather than it being a prerequisite, make it a side chain, give you an option, alternate way of getting there. Maybe you need to spend a point to unlock the tree.
Yeah.
And then you can spend points to boost way through it if you don't want to like spend the time to do it. And maybe make it higher, but at least I would be... Yeah, because
there's 4 skill levels on each skill. That's a big investment. So many
points, yeah.
Considering you only get 1 per level, it's a big investment.
And levels are coming harder at like, you know, getting further out as well. They're not nice and even.
That system is...
So dumb, and I know.
I think they've designed it because they want you to play the game again with New Game Plus. So you keep all your skills in New Game Plus, but the game's not good enough to want to play it again.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, and that's bad.
That's why the game would be better if they had like 5 different paths you could follow.
Yeah.
And as soon as you chose one, it locked you out of the other 4.
Yeah.
And each path was shorter.
Yeah.
So it encouraged you to play the game again and try the different paths.
That could be fun.
That would be a much better game than whatever this is that they've created.
All right, enough about Starfield.
Yeah.
Tell me about another disappointing game.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That's a 2022?
It's a while ago. The new one's about to come out, 2024.
So is that why you're playing?
No, I'm playing it because my brother got me the PS5 upgrade with the Yuffie expansion pack.
Oh, okay.
But before I started playing, and turns out the Yuffie expansion pack is a completely separate game. You can't use any of your stuff from your main game in your Yuffie expansion pack. And you can't use anything from the other expansion pack in your main game.
Oh.
So I thought, I'm just going to go back and have a look at it again. And I tried hard mode again. And I went, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. And so I looked it up. I looked up hard mode. How do you beat this monster? And said, do this, do this, do this, do this. So I tried it again. I went, I did that. I went, oh, that worked. That was easy. So I've looked at all the hard mode stuff. I'm actually now sitting playing through hard mode with my phone next to me saying, tells you how to beat each boss. So it's not actually hard mode. What it is each boss has a specific way for you to beat them. And if you follow that thing, it's actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
But it's so brutal. This is why I think it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
It's so brutal. It's like Dark Souls and that. I wouldn't like it. If you don't know what you're doing, you die so quickly. So it's really...
hard to learn.
It's really unsatisfying experimenting.
Yeah.
And trying to learn. But it's actually, if you know what to do, it's actually not that hard at all.
Yeah, right.
Which is interesting. So that I think from now knowing that, I think they've tried to make it like a Dark Souls mode is what they've tried to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, if you miss a roll or a dodge, that's all over kind of thing. Like you're dead. Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
this, yeah. I hate the combat system. The combat system in this game is terrible.
That sucks.
So, but it's interesting. Yeah. That's how I am.
That is interesting that there's like a formula that you need to have.
There's a formula and it's actually super easy if you follow the formula.
It just doesn't allow for experimentation. Like you have this game that gives you all these powers and abilities and then it says you use them by pressing AABB XY star.
It would be all right if you didn't die so quickly. The problem is when you do the wrong thing, you die so quickly, you get frustrated. And all you do is, well, okay, well, I can't do that. That didn't work. Or maybe I timed it wrong, so I'll try it again. And you die quickly again. It's like you've got 4,000 hit points and the thing's doing 2,500 hit points per hit.
Yeah.
So you get hit twice and you're dead. And so you don't know, well, was that because I was too slow, because I did something wrong, or is it because my strategy's not working? But then when you cast Fira on the thing that's weak to Fira, it gets staggered and doesn't attack anymore, and then you cast, then you hit attack it with this attack, and then that attack, and then use this ability on it, and it's dead. I went, oh, I lost 3 hit points in that fight.
Yeah, there's something a bit.
So there's one specific way to kill it.
I wonder if that's a fundamental, I mean, I don't play it enough, but I wonder if that's a fundamental difference between like a Japanese game versus like a Western game. If like, you know, if that's sort of something, the difficulty level on that is like,
As far as I can tell, it's very not a JRPG.
Yeah, right.
But I could be wrong, and that could be what JRPGs have become. But
I don't play enough of them to know like if that's something that's common amongst that sort of.
I think they're trying to keep the genre alive. I think the genre is dead.
JRPGs.
Yeah, because it needs that turn-based combat. So you can have sophisticated bosses with sophisticated moves, and you've got to know what to do, but you've got time to plan. You can set things up properly.
Yeah.
Whereas in a real-time combat system, where the computer's controlling your other characters as like morons, you can't have such a sophisticated system.
Yeah.
So I think that they tried to make it active to appeal to the younger market that don't want turn-based stuff.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to still be tactical and strategy and the bosses to feel epic.
Yeah.
But instead all they've done is they've made it dissatisfying.
It's almost like the same thing with Dragon Age. You'd say a turn-based kind of, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 kind of style first game. Yeah. And they try to bring that into like the action-y and it's middling at best.
Yeah.
You know, like
where you see the three dudes just appear behind you, to jump down from the top of the screen behind you. Well, where did they come from? Why couldn't I see them before?
Particularly in a 3D environment, it really feels more jarring than a 2D environment where they could just be hidden off stage. Yes. You know, it's sort of. But when they're in 3D, you're like, I can see up there, and there was no one there. Like, where did you know? Like, it's a bit odd.
It was a bad job. Dragon Age 2.
Interesting.
Yes. So I'm going to persist with it now that I found the secret trick, just so I can get the achievements. It won't be as satisfying.
Yeah.
But I'm actually enjoying beating it. Even though I'm using someone else's knowledge, I am actually enjoying beating everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I got so angry with it when I tried to do it myself.
Yeah, well, you know, you just got to, I mean, you got to play it on hard mode for the achievement, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So it's an 18 chapter game. You got to play through all 18 chapters to unlock hard mode.
Yeah.
And then there's five achievements you can only unlock in hard mode.
Oh, jeez.
Oof. So it wasn't that I was sitting there with one achievement unlocked for finishing in hard mode. There's five.
Oh,
so yes, I'm going to crank through it and get all those achievements
on. Yeah, right. Well, I'm doing a bit of achievement hunting at the moment as well. We've fired up Conan Exiles again. We haven't really played it since it actually, you know, got released.
You just played the beta version.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah, because like I was looking at setting up the server again. I'm looking at some of the log files and I'm like, 2018? Wow, we played this back in 2018. This has been a while kind of thing. So I looked at, it must have only just played it when, that's not true, because we have got some of the achievements, so we must have played some of it
after it was
when it was released, but we didn't really. But now there's like, you know, there's like a battle pass, there's a store you can buy stuff in and whatnot. And we looked at all the achievements, I'm like, oh, they're pretty achievable achievements. Let's see if we can get like 100% on it, you know, and knock through it. But whoa, difference between that and Valheim, it's huge. Oh my God. Like just in like both survival games and they're both difficult in their own ways, you know, you die and you got to do like the naked run and all that kind of stuff. But Conan has so many items, like so many benches and so many things and just like, I just can't like. Just
can't track it
so
all.
So much stuff. It's just ridiculous. It's like, I'm going to appreciate Valheim's more streamlined approach kind of thing. I have a suspicion that the reason there's so many items and it's so complicated is to slow down the PvP, to sort of maybe that's the difference. It's like a PvP survival versus PvE with Valheim. It's just like they want to put a lot of items just so you have to collect a bunch of stuff. And when you make something, you need to like get a bunch of stuff and put it together. You can't just quickly...
Strengthen yourself up, you know, kind of thing. You can't Fortnite it.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. You know, it's much harder kind of thing. But yeah, much better building. They stole than steal, but they use the same method as Valheim for building, where you have a tool that you open up. You have to like pre-craft everything. So you're going to put down foundation, you have to make like 20 foundations, put them in your inventory, and then assign them to a hotbar so you can place them on the ground. It was like, yeah, now you can just have a tool that you then just go, you got a hologram and go build, modern and stuff. So they made lots of good improvements that have made it more enjoyable. So looking forward to
doing some more Conan.
The shenanigans of any sort of survival game is so good, though. These stupid things you can get yourself caught up in. Just at the moment in Valheim, Yana and I are doing naked runs to get our stuff back because we spent just a little bit too much time in the crypt gathering. Yep. It got to nighttime and our gear levels are just not quite enough at the moment to being in that zone. So we died, and then we died getting our stuff back. So now we have no backup gear to go get our primary gear kind of thing. And so... you rocked up after that, so we quit again. So we've got to work out how we're going to get our stuff back. There was a real hairy moment when we were expanding the phase last time where we died and we died and then we died. And I'm like, okay, we're down to our last bronze, right? This will make one more boat. If this boat dies, we are back to square zero, stone tools, and bootstrapping ourselves back up to bronze again, because like there's just, we've got no more gear left in the base kind of thing. Luckily, whew,
you did.
Yeah, a little bit of like drive the boat in. Bill, as I'm driving the boat in, I knock down a crafting table, switch over to repair the boat. Yana jumps out, gets whoever's loot bag back in the boat. Yeah. The boat takes off, loops back around. As we're going back in, repair the boat, jump out, grab the stuff, back in the boat, loop around, and then just keep doing that again and again. And one Dwarger, whatever they are, they're dead people in the swamp, underwater with an arrow shooting us. I'm like, he's underwater. I mean, he can walk on the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, that's fine. You're not shooting an arrow out of the water. No. Please and thank you. That is ridiculous. And you can't shoot into the water to get him or anything.
No, I'm shouldn't be able to shoot out of the water.
God, so frustrating. But luckily, we did it. Man, that knife edge, though, being like right on the edge, not having any more resources and going like, if we don't do this.
Yeah. It flipped the table time.
It's not happening. It's not happening. What I realized that what I should have been doing is always carrying a portal on me. And as soon as we got out of that crypt and it was getting dark, I should have dropped the portal back home, slept, got refooded, then come back through the portal again. Because the creatures don't tend to bother the portals unless they like are actively chasing you through the portal kind of thing. So you sort of leave it there for a day and you can get back to where you were, pick up, just deconstruct, get your stuff back and then move on. So next time, never travel without a portal. Yeah. That's the lesson for today.
Yeah.
Okay, until next time, Tony, thank you very much. I did it again. I fucked it up. I'm so annoyed at myself.
Try again.
I can't remember what it is.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I wanted to outro that. I think what it was, right? I wanted to have a segue into the out kind of thing, but I didn't have anything to like discuss for next episode. Like this is why I tried to go last. Yeah. So I have time to think about a little bit what's going to be on next week's show. What can I put forward? What is going to be talked? And then, thank you, Tony. Then we finish it.
Yeah.
Sigh. Join us next week for Baldur's Gate. Maybe a bit more disappointing Starfield talk.
Yeah, definitely a bit more disappointing Starfield talk.
Maybe some Valheim and Conan shenanigans. You never know your luck. And maybe you might beaten Final Fantasy VII.
Maybe.
So until then, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.